Episode 220, November 23rd, 2015.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Show that Laura Reuter is going to love because there's no Marcus Serta tonight.
It's true, and I don't have a microphone, a working microphone, so our already criticized audio might even be worse this week.
Hi, Laura.
This is actually not a good night to have some audio issues because Marcus is a lot more pleasant, easy to deal with when there's audio issues. As opposed to your psychotic brother, Rob Robinson.
What was that again that Marcus was laughing that hard about that he overreacted to?
I don't remember.
You're not going to tell me, Robbie?
I don't remember.
It was Merle Rogers was on his show, and she said something, you know, like happy camp or something, you know, that you've heard a million times, and Marcus thought that he had just heard Chris Rock Bigger and Blacker for the first time.
Hey, Merle's pretty funny. And she was yelling at Chris Restivo today, which was entertaining. A lot of inside references in the first minute of this show. Welcome to the show, everybody. Marcus, don't know where he's at. Something with the going to a concert with a kid or something. Not a kid, probably his kid. That would be weird. Thanksgiving week. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about injuring Joe Flacco, and Robbie's birthday is coming up this week. Robbie, it's Wednesday, correct?
Yes.
Now, are you going to have cake and then Thanksgiving you're going to have pie? You're going to be eating a lot. You're going to gain weight this week.
I probably won't do anything except for we might go out for dinner or something.
You're not going to have cake?
I don't like cake.
Yeah, okay. You don't really? What's your go-to birthday sweet? Do you have ice cream? Do you get something?
I like ice cream, and I like ice cream cake, which isn't really cake.
Oh, ice cream cake is amazing. Will they have ice cream cake for you at Thanksgiving at Graham's house?
I doubt that.
Hey, my birthday is just 1 week later. That's not happening.
Nobody cares about that. You had a brand new wolf fleece on. Pullover. Is that or zip up? Was that an early birthday present?
Yeah, if you go to my Facebook, that was actually given to me by landlord Dave. And it's now the best wolf piece that I own.
Let me tell you how
great it is. I posted a picture of it on Facebook and it just got its 75th like. It's 15 likes away from the same reception that Scott Apple's engagement announcement got.
Well, a lot of women were probably hearts were broken when they saw Scott was off the market. They weren't going to like that post.
I'm going to agree to disagree there. But anyway, it is an amazing fleece. Please go to my Facebook page and take a look. And if you like it, give it a like and see if we can't get to 91, surpassing the announcement that Scott Apple has found love.
Or you can go to Scott Apple's page and go back and find that announcement and like that to keep it ahead of the wolf. Now, if you realize, Joe, if you got like super famous as a comedian, you were touring and headlining these A-rooms, people would be bringing you wolf shirts and wolf items.
You know, I've only bought, I think I may have bought two things that actually have wolves on them. Everything else has been given to me.
Do you want to branch out into other animals?
I have. You know, I have the one with the giant eagle on it and the American flag, and I have the dolphin one that I wore, the famous one that I wore to the Queen concert.
Yes, yes.
I got that at a, there was a church, I don't know, we called it yard sale. You went into the church, and I got that shirt for $1.
Are you going to branch out into some African safari stuff, some tigers, some zebras?
Yeah, I'm not trying to limit myself. Yeah, I'll wear whatever I'm given. But this fleece is special because it was a gift from Dave and also has some moons on it. It's probably the ugliest thing that I've ever, but I wore it today to work.
You wore, like, is there a dress code there? Apparently not.
No, I had on, you know, I wore khakis and I wore a button-up shirt. You know, you can't wear tennis shoes or anything like that, but I had on, you know, suede brown shoes, and then I wore my wolf.
Are you at the point where you're going to wear that on stage?
I don't think people would get it.
Well, they wouldn't, but it's just, if you like it that much, what do you care? It's up to them to catch up, right?
I do love it. Also, it's hot up there, though. I wouldn't wear a fleece.
Well, I did the High Tops in Timonium last night. Great gig. And our buddy T. Brad Hudson runs it. The first comic that went up wore a T-shirt and shorts.
God.
And first of all, it's literally 35 degrees out. So I don't know when you stop wearing a T-shirt and shorts, but I kind of think 35 degrees is too cold for that. And you're on stage in front of people, and you look like you don't give a fuck.
Was he funny?
He was reading jokes from a notebook. He's young and he knew. No, he wasn't funny.
God.
Seemed like a nice kid, though. I think this is too much information. I think he throws up before every show. That's what somebody told me.
Really?
Yeah.
Probably because he's so damn cold.
Probably, yeah. I mean, if you get stuck outside all night, it's 30 degrees out, and you have shorts and a T-shirt on, you might die.
We during the Ravens post game, we did a fan interview, and a guy showed up. He was wearing shorts, and we did not discuss the game or players or anything, only the fact that it was freezing on Sunday.
And it's always colder in a stadium sitting on those seats.
Yeah, I mean, well, of course, we're I don't know why. When we broadcast from Mothers, we broadcast outside. Now, everybody went inside. It was freezing cold. But yeah, for some reason, we're still out there. I mean, how are we trying to represent this? Is it people are outside partying? Like, what are we doing? Let's go inside.
Yeah, the weather has turned. You can't be outside anymore. It's going to be bad when they're like 3-12 and you're outside after another loss trying to talk about the Ravens. The curse is alive and well. The Ravens did win, but Joe Flacco, their star quarterback, tore his ACL. So good job, Joe.
No. You also forgot that their starting running back and Pro Bowler from last season, Justin Forsett, is out with a compound fracture of the arm.
He's no big deal. He's not part of their future. I, once again, was not involved in the post-game show. And can I just say this? Like, I really hate that they play music. I mean, I feel like between what I bring to the table, you and Tommy, I mean, we could have an amazing show. And it's just frustrating to me that I feel like that we're just sitting there. Like, use us. Let's fucking make this happen. And it's like we have one arm behind our back and an eye patch on one eye. It's like, can't we just do this? Can't we just go for it?
So this is going to sound like a suck up. I promise you it's not. I'll tell you exactly how I think. But I have a lot of respect for what the program director has to say with the direction of the show. I really do. I don't ever think he's had a bad suggestion. A lot of times the suggestion has involved more content. I would never listen to a show where they were playing music 50% of the time and doing comedy 50% of the time. I wouldn't do it. I would either listen to a sports show or comedy show, or I would listen to music. I wouldn't do both. But I don't know if I'm in the minority. Like, I don't know if I'm representative of what people in general are going to listen to. Now, I will say that probably, no exaggeration, 20 times people have come up to me and said, hey, I was listening to the post game and I heard you, then I heard nothing but music and I turned it off. I've heard that. But those are also people
that like us. They're our friends.
Yeah, they write. I know them personally. So that's a different thing. I don't know what the average fan is going to want to listen to. I do know this, that I'm glad we're doing comedy rather than straight sports, because nobody is listening to, who wants to hear sports, is listening to 98 Rock. They're listening to a station that's broadcasting sports the whole time. If somebody wants comedy and maybe music, then we have an opportunity to gather those people. But I think if somebody's just there for sports content, we're not getting them anyway. That's why I'm glad we're trying to be funny.
And I'm not even saying that Rick is wrong and that doing it this way. The ratings might show that he's right. And my anger is more that the ratings would show that. Because I feel like, I don't know, maybe the Ravens, you know, they want there to be some sort of post-game show, and this is just to appease them. But I realize the Redskins is a bad comparison because their flagship station is a sports talk radio station. So obviously they're not going to have music. But I'm wondering if there's other football teams that their flagship station is a music station. What do they do? Do they play music? Do they have straight sports?
That's a good question. I do wonder if there's any other.
There has to be another football team that's main station isn't talk sports.
Really?
Talk.
Because the reason that the 90 Rock has the Ravens is because 1090 had the Orioles. And when they conflicted, they couldn't choose one over the other. So they couldn't carry both teams. So what they had to do was put one on the sister station. That's how it worked. All the money's going in the same pocket. And that's the reason that existed. But the Orioles went to, 570. They're no longer 105.7, I think.
105.7, yeah.
105.7. So it wouldn't surprise me in the future if maybe that was the direction that they went. I don't know. I do know this. The reason that we're doing comedy during this show is because I don't believe there's an audience for a sports and rock show. And I think Rick agreed with that. Rick Strauss. I think he agreed with that. And that's the reason that we're doing that. Now, could it evolve even more? Yeah, it could. But honestly, I trust his judgment in terms of us doing what he thinks makes sense. So, obviously I'm going to say what I think. And right. He's somebody who allows for that, and I will. I mean, listen, he certainly listened to me when I complained about, what audio issues we were having or what show issues we were having, and things changed quick.
So are things improving on that front? Because we've been
Yeah, everything got better. He was even able to get your segment done. The only problem was, you were on your cell phone and the audio was just such that we couldn't use it.
Yeah.
But that's something that's not the station's fault. So, I think that they did everything that they could that I asked them to do. Everything was done. All they did was ask me to, lift the curse, but I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, Matt, I wrote, this is two straight weeks I've written my segment, and they're funny. And now it'll never happen.
No, you're 100% right. It was funny. And it didn't happen.
Were you able to? Because I couldn't tell if you could hear me at all. So.
No, I could. And I was great. And of course, now it can't be used. Although you might be able to use a lot of that next week. You know what I mean?
If two weeks, they're on Monday night next week.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Our buddy Marcus, who's not here tonight, told me on Twitter that he is going to come to the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, January 21st through the 23rd, and see myself and David Koechner tell some jokes. So I'm going to meet Marcus, and I assume his wife will be coming up. I'm thinking Tawanda might come. It sounds like to me, Joe, that you and Katie should come up, and Robbie, you and your lovely lady. You should make it a weekend.
No, I won't do that.
Why not?
Dude, I'm not going to go to Connecticut in January to see a comic that I've seen.
David Koechner and Marcus Serta. That's why you're going. Yeah, and going to hang out with me.
Would be one thing. I mean, listen, I like David Koechner. I wouldn't go make a trip to go see him, but I like him and I think he's funny. If he
We're
was
gonna
here
be hanging out with him.
Yeah, all right, you're selling me a little bit. How long are we there?
Well, I'm there Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You can be there, you know, it's up to you.
So I just show up Friday, Saturday, hang out and head back.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right, Robbie?
No way I'm doing that.
Ah, what if I get Mermelstein there?
If you get Mermelstein, I'm not going.
Well, if anybody else wants to come, I know we have some listeners up that way. January 21st through the 23rd, it's the Mohegan Sun, I think is what it's called, and somewhere in Connecticut. Check it out. Thanksgiving, I guess 2 years ago, I went, me and Tawana went to Gramps, went to your place. It was a good time. Last year, I don't remember what we did, but this year we debated going again, but we have decided we're going to go to Tawana's parents' house.
But you'd rather come here, right?
Well, yeah, of course I'd rather come there. But, and, you know, and Gramps, I'm sure, would rather we come there. And by we, I mean Tawanda.
No, of course, everybody would. It's always going to be better if you come. What time is the dinner that you're going to? What time is it?
I have no idea.
Because our dinner is the worst possible time. It's smack dab in the middle of the day. So if there was an early one or a late one, you'd still miss it.
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
They want to, Aunt Tish wants to make sure that nobody can go anywhere else.
Is Katie going to be there?
Katie has, I think, a 4 o'clock. So I think she's going to start at ours and then make her way over to the other one. Right. But, you know, Big James will be there. You know who we have, Robbie and, you know, whoever his girlfriend, whoever she drags along. It'll be fun.
Robbie, will your girlfriend be making some sort of Taiwan dish?
She will be helping Tish to prepare Thanksgiving. I don't know that she will be making anything specifically from her culture.
Do you think she wants her in the kitchen with her?
Yes, Tish was very happy to accept her help.
Do they have any sort of Thanksgiving equivalent?
No.
I wouldn't think so.
The pilgrims didn't go to Taiwan.
I know that. That's
no, but Lobo did.
Well, we're going to miss it, but hey, I think we're doing the right thing with seeing the family. Tawanda has got a house. It's pretty much official. Columbia, cheaper than what you said she could get, Robbie. So score one for Tawanda. The house party will follow. I'll keep you guys posted. You're all invited.
Robbie's going to say it's a shit house because of the price of it.
I guarantee he won't say that.
So. Well, no, but the problem is Robbie doesn't have a filter, just like when my sister Robin brought her dog actually the dog was at its own house. And Robbie said it was from a puppy mill.
Yeah. Robbie can be a dick. Let's talk about this though. I heard this on JL Covan's podcast. And then I'm reading it now on rollingstone.com. Andy Kaufman, Red Fox, comedians of noteworthiness, dead comedians, are going to tour as holograms.
How is that any different than just going on YouTube and watching them? It's basically a video of them, right?
Because you're in a room with other people, I guess you're experiencing that. Each comic's estate agreed to terms with Hologram USA to create a stage show based on their classic routines, with each virtual performance setting up residencies in multiple locations in tourist-oriented cities across the country.
Who will go to that? Nobody.
I don't know. I mean... Are they going to have an opener? Am I going to have to, like, be in the green room with, like, Kaufman's hologram? Is that?
Well, actually, no. Do you know why there won't be an opener?
Because the hologram can't follow me, damn it.
Well, the hologram isn't going to be upset that, you know, the crowd isn't warmed up. They're just going to, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
They're like, why are we going to pay an opener? They'll just, nobody, they don't care about it. They don't know. They're not alive.
Do you think that their estate is going to demand a certain kind of opener? He has to be clean. He has to be this. We want low energy.
They have a rider for the hologram.
Yeah.
I don't like Kaufman. I don't.
I don't like holograms. So
I thought that Man in the Moon. Is that the name of the movie with Ace Ventura?
Yeah, I think so.
Man on the Moon.
Whatever. I liked the movie, but I don't like Kaufman because One of the things that I always hated, and I hate this one, Rob knows about it because he's the king of the open mic. Nobody's better to mic than Rob. And that's that all these people come out and all they want to do is you got to try to make the comics laugh. And what that is, you try to be as edgy or as outrageous or make them see something that they haven't seen right. in that setting. But it's not something that works in an audience. Now, Kaufman used to have these legendary stories where, like, he just read from The Great Gatsby until everybody left. Well, fuck him. I'm not there to watch him amuse himself. And be like, oh, it's genius. Okay, I guess. I remember Tom Green did this bit where he offered to drive some of the audience home, right? Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, when the show ended, it was, you know, 1, 2, 3 in the morning, and he was going in these houses and waking up people's parents, everything. Every single person that he took home ended up hating Tom Green. And they made it into, like, this... Do you remember this, Robbie?
Of course I remember this.
They made it into, like, this little, obviously, like, a reality or documentary piece, because you're seeing it happen real time. So it is amusing. But the thing about The Great Gatsby is nobody's there except for the audience and him. Now, I heard he did shit like this all the time. And all he's doing is saying, oh, watch what I'm going to do. Okay, well, you did it. Everybody hates it. Nobody will ever see you again.
Which makes him being a hologram choice an awful one, because his whole shtick is making it awkward and uncomfortable. And it won't be awkward and uncomfortable because it's not really happening.
And he would, the other thing, and not that we were here to talk about how much Andy Kaufman sucks, but I mean, his big thing was doing an Elvis impersonation. But the truth is that even his Elvis impersonation was just an impersonation of other Elvis impersonations. It wasn't like it was some original Elvis impersonation. It's just, I've seen it 1,000 times. It wasn't anything special. And it obviously didn't look a whole lot like Elvis. It looked like people doing Elvis impersonations. So, I mean, maybe somebody can talk about, I know Howard Stern is a big Andy Kaufman fan, so I'm sure Robbie will come to his defense, but
not sure, yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Maybe at the time it was, that's what, because sometimes you're just in the right place at the right time, and maybe that's what happened with Kaufman, but that today, I wouldn't pay 2 cents to see that.
Well, this company, Hologram USA, says they're in the works for a Whitney Houston concert tour in 2016.
I only want to see that if it's the Whitney Houston, the one that couldn't sing anymore before she died.
I don't understand. Like,
she couldn't sing?
Oh, at the very end, she couldn't even sing.
Yeah, she was sounding. Well, I think she wasn't taking good care of herself. I think that could have been fixed. But, I mean, who's clamoring for this? Clearly, this company feels like that there's a desire for this. But
if there is a movie about, like, Marvin Gaye's life,
and there's supposed to be, but right. I saw a trailer. I don't. They should have called it.
And I say Marvin Gaye because let's be honest. I mean, as much as Whitney Houston was a great singer, she's not Marvin Gaye. He wrote those songs. He was part of the Berry Gordy, you know, session group. I mean, Marvin Gaye, you know, he's 100 times what Whitney Houston was.
Well, it's also it's kind of a more interesting story.
It is, and the story's better. And if that happened, I would go see that movie, and I would.
Well, I think it is happening. It's. I forget what I think it's called Sexual Healing.
Because he was killed in what, 83, 84?
Well, he did the All-Star game, NBA All-Star game, the national anthem in 83. So
83, the greatest national anthem of all time. Which is
you see a hologram of Marvin Gaye?
For some reason, and I need to understand why there's a difference. I think I would.
Well, that's because, look, we saw Queen with Adam Lambert. Would you rather see Queen with Adam Lambert or Queen with a Freddie Mercury hologram?
That's a good question. Let me think about this. I need to process it. See, I think Adam Lambert is an amazing singer. And I also think that one of the things that like, it's cool. Like, I'm going to go see The Who with my son, Joe. It's going to be his first concert in March. Mm-hmm. Very excited about that.
That's cool.
But it's not the same. But I get to see them. That means a lot to me to get to see... Hey, Joey, that's Pete Townsend. You know, he wrote 40 iconic rock and roll songs that have stood the test of time. They've been around for 40 years. Everybody knows them.
Right.
There he is. He's right there. The idea of seeing Lambert or Mercury's hologram, I don't know that I would.
You meant seeing Lambert versus the hologram.
Right, right. I don't know that I care which one I see.
I want to see a live person. I want to see interaction. I want to have that person talking. I want there to be an organic moment that happened at that show.
But also they put a front man. Queen found a front man that was a star. I mean,
they have to be good. Obviously. Yeah.
And that made a difference because now all of a sudden there's an icon out there now. And obviously Adam Lambert's not Freddie Mercury. I'm not trying to pretend like he's not, but he was a huge part of our pop culture and he does have an amazing voice. You know, when he is a showman, he's not Freddie Mercury, but yeah, at least there was something for you to say, all right, well, I kind of get what they're trying to do. This is working a little bit. It's a lot different than what they try to do with Journey, where they got another guy with an amazing voice who has there's no star power at all.
Right. Yeah.
Even if he's great, who the hell is he? I don't know who he is.
Do you think music or comedy is a hologram works better for?
I guess.
What about a play? What about? You're Robin Williams is acting in some play that Robin Williams hologram.
Well, I wouldn't want to see that, but if Daniel Day-Lewis hologram, I would.
Daniel Day-Lewis could just play a hologram.
I don't know the answer to this because if I were watching Good Will Hunting, it was on TV, I'd watch it. Well, if I were going to see a play and there's a video of this person, and people were acting against it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that would be pretty innovative. I don't know. I think that sounds kind of cool.
I don't like it. I mean, we're comics. We're being replaced by holograms.
Well, no, because those are, it's almost like, would you go and buy a Red Fox album or CD? I wouldn't, right. But the people that would do that would also go and see him live. But, you know, I mean, here's the thing. One of the things about live comedy is there's an energy that you don't get when you watch it on TV. There's an energy. If people don't see a lot, everybody who goes to see a good live comedy show comes out going, wow, I don't know why I don't do that more often. It happens all the time.
Yeah, and there are moments that will happen and with that crowd. I mean,
you're not going to get that. The hologram's not going to do crowd work.
No. I'd rather just we all go in a room and watch a set from a famous set from one of these guys.
You heckle a hologram?
Oh, somebody would.
You suck. Hey, I went to go see the Ocean Blue, which is a band no one's ever heard of. Right. But they were a pretty big band in the very, very early 90s. They're from Hershey, PA, and they had like four songs that were played on HFS. And we went to go see them. Me and a couple friends went to go see them. Well, one of the songs features the saxophone. So my friend Vegas, who you know, is yelling. By the way, there's only 150 people there, right?
Right.
Yelling, play the saxophone. Well, we almost got into a rumble. This guy's like, hey, quit heckling the band. You consider that heckling the band, asking them to play?
No, that's normal for a rock show. Hello.
Another radical dream becomes a long friend.
Was that the song Sublime?
Yes.
Yeah. I hate that song.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Scott Apple's female riding pants. Robin Joe Show, be right back.
Hi, this is Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show, and I'm here to tell you about the most hysterical, amazing, and festive show I've ever had the privilege to be a part of. It's called A Merry Murder Mystery, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the guys who brought you The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. There's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, December 9th at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House. For upcoming show dates and more information, please visit facebook.com/DieLaughingProductions or robinjoe.com.
The Robin Joe Show.
So I think we mentioned that Scott Apple was talked into taking horseback riding lessons, and his wife wanted them to go full gear.
Well, no, what happened was they showed up. Now, you know, Scott has actually had experience. He's actually taken horseback riding lessons before and knows how to ride. So his wife said, I'd like to learn how to ride. Now Scott's like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Shows up in jeans, the same thing that he wore when he did it before as a young man.
Sure.
I'm sure his parents, you know, Scott's short. They're probably like, okay, well, maybe he'll be good at this because, you know, we hear short people are good at riding horses, right?
Right.
So the lady who runs the the horseback riding camp or whatever. She's like, well, listen, if you're going to ride on my saddles, you need to wear riding pants. And of course, you also have to wear that hat, you know, that half of whatever hat that they have to wear.
Yeah.
So, of course, he brings the pants and I sent you pictures of what the pants would look like. But Scott came in and he goes, I'm positive that I have women's pants. He's positive that he, and I'm like, well, how would you know? And he wouldn't, but he's confident that he's wearing women's riding pants. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the equestrian is the only event, Olympic event, where men and women compete against one another.
Yeah, I would imagine that there's, it only takes so much strength. I get like probably more technique than anything, right?
Well, they're probably like, listen, we don't want anybody to have an advantage, so everybody has to wear the exact same clothes.
Yeah, how would you tell the difference?
He said the hips are very huge. You know, it's like wearing a, you know, a pair of Abercrombie and Fitch women's jeans or whatever. Yeah,
he looks sexy.
It's big in hips. Well, I even said to him, I said, hey, can I have a picture of that? And he said, absolutely not. Now, Scott Apple also said to me today, he came an hour late to work today, called me, said, I'm not going to be able to make it in. I was, I'm trying to remember what he said, but he said it's basically the equivalent of I was killing it last night, right? So I go, well, define that. Define what that means. He goes, I had a lot to drink. So I said, all right, now Rob already knows the answer, and obviously I've really alluded. But Robbie, the drinking was from 3 to 10 on a Sunday. And this made Scott Apple 1 hour late for work. 9 o'clock, okay? 11 hours after the night ended. From 3 to 10, how many beers did Scott Apple drink?
4.
Nope, 6 beers. That's, I think, 0.86 beers an hour from 3 to 10, and that caused him to be an hour late to work.
While wearing female riding pants. Hey, I'm looking at the chat. There's some funny lines on there. Eric, the actor, says, who would sell more download cards, Rob or the hologram? Of course, they're guessing the house costs $400K, but I guess they don't remember that you said that we couldn't find a house that we wanted with the number of bedrooms for less than $350. And when I told you were wrong, that should have given them a hint on that. Will Rob at least help pay for the movers? Hey, I have a moving buddy. I'm paying half the mortgage, damn it. I'm just like, I pay half the rent here.
Well,
that's a lot different, Rob. I mean, if you're paying half the rent, that money just goes nowhere. But you are actually buying Tawanda's house for her.
I mean, we're together. This is what adults do, Joe.
I know that, but you know, is your name on the house?
No.
Well, she gets all the equity. She gets everything, and you're like, all right.
Well, yeah, she also has the ability to buy a house. I think I'm getting the better deal here.
It's true. Is your rent going to go up or down?
No, it's going to go up. Hey, I just bought us a TV, though.
What'd you get?
Got a 60-inch Samsung. It's pretty sweet.
We were on the phone with Scott Apple today. It's a lot of Scott. It's a Scott Apple-heavy program.
He never said too much.
And he said, and Rob said, Scott, because Scott is a smart guy, but he's also he's a tech savvy guy. Sounds like something he would know. And Rob said, Scott, what TV should I buy? And he said, it depends on what size you want and how much you want to spend. That's what he said. So he basically told him nothing.
Yeah. And then he told me, make sure you get a smart TV. Like every TV is a smart TV these days.
Do they even make non-smart TV? Hey, make sure it's color.
Hey, get one with a remote control. No, it's they do make non-smart TVs, but the Roku, you don't really need a smart TV with all the way to Roku and stuff like that, and Apple TV. But yeah, it's a damn good TV. So I figure I got to do something, right? I gotta give something towards this house.
Yeah, no, obviously, yeah, you have to be a contributing member of society. No,
I actually bought 2 TVs, to be honest, because
did you really?
Well, the other day I got, there was a deal at Best Buy. It was a 40-inch TV for like $160. So go in the bedroom. Yeah. Yeah, I'm Mr. TV guy.
I've been spending all my money on props for the murder mystery. I just filled a tub up. I took a picture of the prop list and sent it to you. but I filled up a tub with props. I can't even lift it. I'm going to need somebody to help me carry it.
Should we read some of these props?
Yeah. Do you have
eggnog cartons, tree, gift bags, world's best boss mug, giant underwear, Santa suit, Nickelback CD, Paula Deen cookbook, RG3 shirt, Bill Cosby CD, Jared from Subway picture, handcuffs, red binders.
Dude, it sounds like a scavenger hunt.
It does.
Yeah. Where nobody could find this stuff. And we have everything you mentioned, we already have.
It's very involved. December 9th, the Draft House in Arlington, the 19th, Booming Temple in White Marsh, and the 26th, that's a Saturday night, at Magoobie's Joke House, where it all got started.
I wonder if I'll get in trouble, because I didn't ask if I could do this, but during the Ravens post game, during both of the games that we play, What's More Likely in Subjective Trivia, we promoted the murder mystery.
Yeah.
So we were like, what's more likely? That the Ravens' last home game is full, or that the Merry Murder Mystery at Magoobie's Joke House on December 26th at 8 p.m. Go to magoobies.com for, you know, and I did the whole pitch. And then in subjective trivia, we did another promotion for it.
I'm reading the chat again. Sorry, Joe.
It's all right.
Eric says he's going to propose before February. He already said that on Omera. Did. And then Rob can't get two Ravens broadcast. That person said, Rob, renting us for suckers. On the other hand, Joe lives in someone's attic.
It's true. I do. Well, I'll be buying a house this summer. Maybe I'll try to be your neighbor. Now I'm going to move to Anne Arundel County, no doubt.
And someone says Rob is seriously threatened by dead comics getting in front of the line and taking his gigs. No, they don't have feature gigs. They only get headlining gigs. I did not buy the ultra high def yet because it's not ready for prime time. Don't worry, Eric the Actor. I was smart. I'm watching. This is maybe the funniest thing I've ever seen on TV. You probably all saw it about 15 years ago on Conan. Triumph, the insult comic dog, at one of the premieres of the Star Wars movies, and making fun of Star Wars nerds. It's super funny. It's hilarious. And I don't know why, but Tawana and I were watching it again the other night on YouTube. And there's a line in there where he's talking to Triumph. It's a stuffed animal dog puppet, basically. And he's talking to a guy in a stormtrooper's outfit. And the guy says, man, you look good with some mustard and on a bun. And Triumph says, what are you, a Korean guy underneath there? And it's hilarious. The whole thing's funny. But maybe just because now the times that we're in, the first thing I thought was, man, could he say that today? Or would people get angry? I think people would get angry.
Well, no, white people would get angry. They want.
Well, that's still their people.
You're supposed to be upset about.
There would be, because the internet is now a much more involved thing. Would be articles out about it. You know, we've been dealing with these stereotypes for years. Yeah.
So I don't want to go too serious, but I'm going to tell one quick story. I remember when James, Big James, lived at my house when he was a senior in high school. Right. And for those of you in the audience who don't know, James is a black man. And he lived at my house, and I remember he had friends, and they would use the N-word. They would use it. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying to James, you know, James, that's disrespectful to you, blah, 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 blah. And I would...
Wait, his friends were white or black?
White.
Okay.
And
they would say it to him, like...
They would say it as a regular part of their speech.
Okay, like you'd say, dude.
Exactly. And I was, and James is like, I don't care. I mean, and I legitimately knew he didn't give a shit. He didn't care.
Right.
And then that's when I realized, who the fuck am I to tell him what to be upset about? Who am I? If he's upset, then I'll be upset for him. But you know how arrogant it is for us to tell another ethnic group what they're supposed to be offended by? We're offended on their behalf? How dismissive and belittling it is that I need to tell you what you're supposed to be upset about? Yeah, you're absolutely right. A bunch of white dumbasses will decide that they're upset about that. But the truth is that if it's done for comedy, it should have license. That's it. It should. It should be okay. So anyway. The point is that you're 100% right. People would get all up in arms And what was a very, very great and classic piece of comedy probably wouldn't exist now today.
The other thing is he's basically calling all these people losers and nerds, and which is hilarious, and which shouldn't be a big deal. But our friend Kat Temp, she's a comedian. She does some stuff on Fox News. I wouldn't call her ultra-conservative, more of a libertarian kind of viewpoints on things. But she said something to the effect on the air, no, I've never seen Star Wars. I've been too busy having a life and being attractive. And now she's getting, like, death threats, like, from like, Star Wars nerds. So yeah. What the Triumph now realizes it's not a real person. But he said a lot worse than that.
Yeah, he did, but he's also a member of a minority group. He's a Jewish guy.
Yeah.
Right? And he's also saying it through this vehicle that's you know what I mean, where you can kind of remove yourself from it. It's almost like we're doing a song in the new murder mystery. And if we were saying it, it might be tough to take, but since it's being sung,
right,
you know what I mean? It's just packaged a different way and people will usually appreciate it. Just like Mickey Coachella. I've probably heard Mickey Coachella say the N-word on stage in front of a 80% black crowd. I've probably seen that, I'm not exaggerating, 200 times. No, it's not an exaggeration.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because every time we would do a weekend at the factory, that was 7 shows. So I'm not exaggerating. About 200 times I've seen him do that. And I've never seen anybody offended. And that's because the package matters. And Mickey is a self-deprecating, 5'3" guy who's heavy.
Yeah.
Right. So people are like, okay, well, he's also, an underdog. So we're okay with him saying these things. Meanwhile, there's no distinction. There's not. It's either okay or it's not okay.
Well, I mean, you mentioned James's friend saying the N-word. That sort of surprised me. How long ago was that? Not, it doesn't surprise me today, but that was how long?
That was 19. No, that was, it was about 2001, 2002.
Well, see, I imagine like your kids who are in high school, they're growing up with like that word amongst their circle. Not like we would never say that word in school.
Yeah, but they vary.
I never said anywhere.
It's okay to say, and of course, yeah, I mean, I remember, of course, I was brought up, Gramps was a very, very liberal person when I was young, and then he got smart, and now he has a different philosophy,
right?
He made a little bit of money, and then life hit him in the face, and all of a sudden he started saying, wait a minute, this stuff doesn't make very much sense. But anyway, the point is that, that word wasn't just taboo, it was beyond taboo, right? I mean, my father marched with Martin Luther King. We weren't saying the N-word in our house. Matter of fact, there was a time I didn't even know the word. I didn't know it. But yeah, I mean, obviously now, you add an A on the end, and oh, don't worry, it's cool because of this, because of that, But hey, also, people didn't use it back then either.
Tell your quick Todd Leatherberry story, then we'll get out of here.
Oh, I can tell the Todd Leatherberry story anytime. I'd rather tell the Hampton Yount real quick.
Do we have time for that?
Yeah, real quick. So Hampton Yount is a comic who is very funny, very, very funny. Around episode, 4 or 5, something like that, Robbie saw him do comedy and crapped on him for doing a joke.
The Bethesda Hyatt.
At the Bethesda Hyatt and made fun of him. Okay, so now I see on Facebook Hampton Yount saying, I have a huge announcement. It's serious. It's my dream job.
A few months ago, he had his own Comedy Central half hour.
Very funny, except for to Robbie. Anyway, so he says, I have my dream job. Guess what he's doing? He is, do you know Robbie?
Yeah, I heard you say in the pre-show.
Yeah, he's the new host of Mystery Science Theater. I guess it's 3000 now is what they're calling it.
Yeah, here and he has two other guys. Yeah.
Right, so I'm like, wow, that's really cool. Then I see there's a Kickstarter for it. Well, how is that a job? I don't understand. Hey, you know what, Rob? I'm going to have you in Star Wars 10. They're making the last three, but there's going to be a 10th. You're Han Solo. All we have to do is raise $10 million. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't count. There's no show. That doesn't even make sense to me.
Well, I'm trying to read. If the Kickstarter is going well, then they must know what's happening.
Okay. Because
they did a Kickstarter for the Super Troopers sequel, and that's happening.
Okay, so there's a group that says we really want this, and so they start a Kickstarter, and then they raise the money, and then they hire people, because it sounds like the money hasn't been raised. It sounds like they hired Hampton for a job that isn't funded.
Well, they wouldn't. He wouldn't be announcing it if it wasn't happening.
Okay, I mean, I don't understand it. I'm not saying it's not happening. I'm saying I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
For you to say. We're rebooting this franchise. There's no money and no network. And then we'll do it.
Well, maybe they're just trying to get buzz, people talking about it. People think it's happening. They get excited. I don't know the marketing of it, but I mean, why wouldn't it happen?
Well, why wouldn't it? Well, I know why it wouldn't, because if they didn't raise the money to make it happen.
But I mean, it's a show that should be on TV. It's funny. It should.
Oh, no, listen, everything you're saying is I agree with. Now, Eric, the actor,
and it's easy to make.
Eric, the actor, is saying on here, it's raised $2 million. So it's obviously it's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just don't understand. I don't understand it. That's all I was saying. I don't understand how you say, we are going to make this show. You're going to pay for it. Why aren't advertisers paying for it? I don't understand it. But now they're going to make it. So I guess it's it. I wonder how much money Hampton. I wonder how much of that $2.5 million is Hampton's.
Well, why don't we do this? And we'll save this for next week. What shows do you want to start a Kickstarter for? Ideas, not necessarily even bring back a show, maybe just a new show or a TV series version of a movie or something. Think about that, and maybe we will talk about that next week, although we often promise to do things and then never do them. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, people. Robbie, have a great birthday as well.
Hey, let me plug something real quick, depending on when this airs. I will be, matter of fact, this should work. I'll be at the Baltimore Comedy Factory with Justin Schlegel and Wendy Townsend. Nice. I'll be featuring. And it's a great show. This is the third year in a row we've done it. The first year that we did it, there wasn't that many people there. This last year, it was about 80% full. I guarantee it's going to be sold out, 100%. This will be sold out. But guess who's coming to this show?
David Koechner.
No, I would say he's not a bigger name than David Koechner, but he plays for the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, Joe Flacco.
Crockett Gilmore will be in the audience.
He's not a bigger name. That'd be close. Wow, what a get.
Maybe in Baltimore he's a bigger name.
That's on the 25th, right? Wednesday night?
That's right.
All right, I'll be at the Jam in Java on Friday the 27th in Vienna.
That's where I saw the ocean blue.
I'll be there with Dan K. Charlie. We'll see you guys next week. Have a good holiday.
All right, later.
The preceding program was brought to you by Moore Broadcasting. For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.